again, be your own advocate, do your own research, make it so that way you figure things out on your own. Don't take what I'm saying or anybody else is saying at face value. Just because some expert says it doesn't mean that it's true. Just because it's written in a book or online somewhere doesn't mean that it's true. Hello, and welcome back to the Forbidden Knowledge Podcast. My name is Nathaniel Hoitmacher, and I am the host. In last week's show, we were talking about living in the present moment, but in this week, we're going to be moving on to the next step, which has to do with activating the physical body. This was an extremely important step to the ancients, and this has to do with a multitude of reasons, but it still very much applies to us today. In the ancient traditions for what we're going on, which is what this entire idea is that I'm basing things upon, making it so it fits our modern world a bit better, is they had to go through various different initiation rites. Some of them had to do with just growing up and whatnot, and some of it had to do with more of the spiritual, esoteric nature. This is the part that I focus on more in this podcast, of course. And some of it has to do with a combination of both, where both had similar overlapping meanings. And these initiation rites were very important because they helped expand one's worldview, or it made it so that way you were becoming like a member of the tribe, in the case of, like, say, killing a bear or a wolf or a lion, depending upon what part of the world that you're from and each particular place that needed that done, in order to become part of the tribe and whatnot. And of course, all of these initiation rites, regardless of whether they were spiritual or not, you needed to have the physical body activated. On top of that, the world was a much more dangerous place in certain regards, but also it was more physically demanding back then, and it made it so that way you have to be able to have your body be at optimal health in order to achieve your goals. If you don't have your body at optimal health, then you can't make it so that way you can do what needs to get done, or things are harder to get done for you. And in a lot of these initiation rites, you could literally die in the process, both for the spiritual ones, the esoteric ones, and for, say, the more of the coming-of-age ones for the men and whatnot. And it made it so that way you absolutely had to be at peak performance for things. It was absolutely important to do so. If you didn't do so, there was a huge chance that you wouldn't survive. Or that if you did, you could come out with it maimed or even insane for certain aspects of this. At one of the sites in Egypt, as an example, you had to make it so that way you had to swim underwater and hold your breath. And if you go up immediately in one of the chambers that shows up there, there's a bunch of crocodiles that were put in the water. And so you had to go and swim up past these crocodiles in order to make it so that way you could do that. This was done to make it so that way you would overcome fear, which was a huge part that needed to be overcome in order to deal with the what was considered the spiritual plane of existence during that time period, the other world, and then dealing with various different entities that you might come across there and whatnot. And then, of course, on the other side of things with it, you have the crocodiles themselves that you have to deal with. And so if you weren't able to deal with that, as well as being able to hold your breath long enough underwater and that kind of thing, you weren't able to complete the task. Ironically enough, even if you went and actually went up to the chamber that held the crocodiles and come out, you actually failed the test, because there's actually another area in that tunnel of water that you need to go to that was much further away that you had to swim past, and held your breath for much longer in order to go out to where there was no crocodiles, which would actually take you to the next stage of the initiation and the next phase of it. And you might be thinking, well, what in the world does this have to do with the modern world, modern era and stuff, or why did they put them through such strenuous things for, say, the spiritual side of things, the esoteric side of things? Maybe it makes sense for, you know, okay, if you need to kill a lion in order to make it so that way you can become a man in the tribe, and you can, you know, make it so that way you get a house and be able to have a wife and all these other things that come from that, great, that makes sense. We understand why you need to be physically strong there. Same thing with the bears and the wolves. But what on earth does this have to do with the other side of things? Well, back in ancient times, when they were doing these mystery school traditions, say for Isis or for Mithra or for Freya in the Norse tradition, or, you know, whoever it was going to be done for, the various different ones, Inanna and Dumuzi, etc., for Sumeria, doesn't matter where you go, they had all these things that were being done with it. And a huge part of this was where somebody was taken into a chamber at the very end of things and whatnot, which I will not be going into the specifics of it here in this episode, because that's going to be an entire season of stuff later on and whatnot, multiple episodes minimum if it's not a whole season about that entire thing. Anyway, there's this process, if not done properly, in terms of the preparation for the mind and for the body and for other things that need to be done with it, would make it so that way the initiate would literally could literally die, or could go insane from what was seen on the other side if they weren't prepared for it. And this was something that they were trying to prevent from happening. And some of this has to do with, like, out-of-body experience and shamanic experience stuff. Other parts of this had to do with, sometimes there was, not in all cases, just to be clear on this, there was some sort of drug that was used that would make it easier for someone to get into a state of being that would make it so they would be having an experience of the outer body and outer and the other world. This could be narcotics, this could be mushrooms, this could be many different things that were used with it. This could even be, you know, shafts of wheat that have ergot on them and whatnot. And so each tradition had their own various thing that they did here, but it was extremely violent on the body, and it was extremely difficult to go do things with it. And so this is the spiritual side of things too that made it so that way that was the case, that you had to have this happen and whatnot. So this is a huge part of why, you know, they needed that. Again, obviously, the other side of things for, you know, killing lions, bears, and wolves, much more straightforward for why you need the physical strength, of course. Now, what does this have to do with modern? Things are physically easier. We have machines that do a lot of the work for us, of course. But that doesn't mean that we can just do whatever we want and be lazy and not take care of ourselves. There are huge consequences for doing so. And so proper diet and exercise is needed. We've all heard the saying in the Western world, or at least the vast majority of us have, you know, your body is your temple. Well, it's where your consciousness resides. It's where your mind resides, your emotions reside, and your spirit, should you choose to believe in such a thing. And because of that, it needs to be taken care of and put in its proper place and whatnot. And it's the vessel for which we do everything in this life. If you are unhealthy, it makes it so that way you can't go and do the things that you want to do. It makes life much, much more difficult. And in order to make that happen, you have to be able to be healthy, of course, which means proper diet and proper exercise. This is not the only things that it is for. It's also for self-defense purposes. If you think the world is any less dangerous now than it was in ancient time periods, I would suggest looking at all the war that's happening and all the insurrections and other things that are going on around the world and see if it doesn't seem like it's going to come to you at some point, or even if it doesn't, but great, that better that it doesn't happen that way, but it's best to be prepared because you never know what's going to happen. So you have all that that needs to be taken into consideration for what's going on too. Now, I'm not going to get into 100% the specifics of what needs to be done here in terms of having a proper diet and exercise, of course. One, I'm not a nutritionist. Two, everybody has to be able to make it so that way they go and get medical advice from their doctors and from other things with it. And do, more importantly, do research for yourself too and be your own advocate on this particular point for what's going on. Hence why the Trivium Method was taught to you earlier in this and making it so that way you can figure out how to do these things on your own should you be inclined to do so and whatnot. And with that in mind, I can move on to the next stage of things, which is to make it so that way I can tell you more about the basics regardless. Many diets around the world are proposed. How do I sift through things that are going to work for me? I don't understand what the best thing to do is. Can't someone just tell me and make it simple? These are all things that might be going through your mind and whatnot. The answer is it's actually pretty simple for the most part. It's more about cutting out a bunch of junk that we do than it is making it so that way you need to change a lot in terms of what you add to your diet. Although in certain cases with certain people and whatnot, their diets were so far removed that they need to do both. I'm an example of that. I had a very poor diet and whatnot. I am still working on my diet, but it's hugely improved over time period and whatnot. And I'm very happy with my progress. Now, what it all basically boils down to is making it so that way you don't eat processed foods, okay? Once you start removing all the processed foods and whatnot, you can keep minimally processed foods, but like once you remove most of the processed foods from your diet, you're gonna start feeling better for people who haven't done this. It took a while, but for me, I don't know, about 4 or 5 weeks in, after I had changed my diet over and I was eating mainly fruits and vegetables, legumes, nuts, and seeds, things of this nature for what's going on with it. And I cut out all meat except for chicken and fish and whatnot, things of that, and just was eating much healthier in general. It made it so that way, for the first time in my life, I realized how much my body was inflamed because of my diet. And I didn't notice it because it was in a constant state of inflammation. So when I finally had, you know, my first cupcake that I hadn't had in a long time and whatnot, that had all this extra sugar and all this extra stuff that was done inside of it, and all this processed crap, I felt terrible when I ate it. Sure, it still tasted good, but how I felt was terrible. Most people have no idea how much their diet impacts that. That's how much it's impacting your body, and then, of course, it's also going to impact your mind and your mental decisions that you make. Because there's the body-mind link connection is, you know, very much proven in science and very much important and on a biological level. And the body influences our mind, and our mind influences our body and that kind of thing with it. And so you really do need to take care of it. And I didn't realize how much I had been neglecting my body on this particular front and thought that because of my age, it didn't really matter as much. But this is simply put not true. It really did, in fact, harm me a lot more than I had ever thought possible by not doing that. And as I began to eat now, and I've been on this new diet for almost a year, it'll be a year and about 9 days here, I've lost approximately 30 pounds. It fluctuates a little bit back and forth, a couple pounds either direction, but that's normal and whatnot. And I'm at a healthy weight again, and I'm very happy with myself and where things have gone with it. And I went from, you know, 198.6 pounds, and my BMI and other things that we're using for this thing were too high, and I was, you know, fat and whatnot. That's just the way it is, to making it so that way now I'm at a healthy weight, using multiple metrics and that kind of stuff, not just the BMI, and I'm sitting at about 168 pounds, and I'm still planning on losing weight and gaining more muscle mass in order to be able to just be better at everything that needs to be done with it. And it's been, you know, a journey for me, but it's been important. And it's important that other people take care of themselves and their diet too on this particular front. So if you want to make it so that way, you know, you're eating healthier and whatnot, look at like regional diets that have been going on with it, right? People talk about the Mediterranean diet all the time, or the Okinawan diet as an example. And some people even talk about the Nordic diet. They all eat things, all three of them, that are whole foods. They're foods that are non-processed or minimally processed, and make it so that way people eat them in well-balanced ways to make it so you're closer to nature with it. If we were to take this to an even higher level than what I'm talking about here, which is just, you know, eliminating all processed food from your diet and eating only naturally, of course you're going to need a plan for that. You can come up with meal plans, you can try it out and all that other stuff with it. You have to really care enough to do so and really want to do so. So that's my points on this. This is the easiest thing to get into, is to take a diet that's native to your region or native to your genetics and that kind of stuff, and make it so that way it's the easiest for you to do and whatnot. I chose one that fit me the best and what has been going on and has worked. You don't have to stick to it 100% in terms of, oh, I'm only eating from the Okinawan diet, or I'm only eating from whatever diet and that kind of thing with it. There's an added bonus to eating natural foods and whatnot and whole foods, is that it makes it so that way you end up getting a lot of better stuff for the environment too. It has way less of an impact eating this way and eating properly. So you're helping out with that side of things too and whatnot, in terms of human resources needing to be done and whatnot, and labor needing to be done that cost the environment more than it needs to be cost for. But other things that are very important for this that most people don't do, which is not just about diet in the sense of strict diet and whatnot, is also sleep. People need to get ample sleep. It has a huge impact with it. You go to bed at the same time of day, you get up at the same time of day. It makes it so much easier for your body to adjust for what's going on with it. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water and other fluids that are healthy for you, like teas and that kind of stuff for what's going on. Remove alcohol and coffee and all that. This stuff is all that we all know and that kind of thing. But it's stuff that, you know, we aren't doing. So if we aren't doing it, do we really know it, or do we only have an intellectualization of it? I'll let you decide that for yourself. For me, I was only intellectualizing that I was actually getting better for a while. Now I'm actually getting better because I'm taking actual action in the real world. So there's that side of things for it. Next, I would also suggest that exercise is absolutely paramount that needs to be done. I had stopped exercising for the most part, especially during COVID, partly because of lockdown nonsense, partly because I became lazy and used it as an excuse for things, mostly because I had put my attention too much on the mind in terms of working out things there, rather than taking action in the real world and figuring things out that needed to be done that way. And I had developed an imbalance for one side of focusing on my consciousness and trying to change certain parts of that rather than just also focusing on the physical. They complement each other, and one should not be neglected or chosen over the other. They need to go together. I know that this is something that a lot of people struggle with because they don't like the term, oh, I have to work out or have to exercise. It seems like it's a struggle for certain people and whatnot. And while this is true, you can also do things that make it simpler for you to do. Example, you can get a job that has to do with exercise. You can go work at a warehouse or something along those lines with it. So you're working out every day that you work there with it, and now your job is basically lifting things and whatnot. Should your body be able to handle it, this could be good for you. And then, of course, you know, you could do something that's fun for you to do, that's exciting and whatnot. Like dancing as an example for what's going on, then go and dance and make that your exercise that you do. If you enjoy martial arts or sports or whatever the deal is, join a club or a team, or making it so that way, you know, you join a martial arts studio and whatnot. Do you like doing yoga? Great, go and do that. And don't say that you don't have time for this stuff with it, because you do have time for it. This is your insurance policy, if you will. If you eat right and you have exercised properly and whatnot, you're going to make it so you have way less chance to get sick. You have way less chance to get diseases. You have way less chances you're going to need to end up hospitalized. Things still happen. Not everything's in our control. By doing this, by thinking, okay, how can I make this fun for myself? How can I make it so that way I do certain things with it that are that way? Well, you make it easier. You know, you don't even need like trainers or whatever to come up with a meal plans or with any of these things, at least to get started and whatnot, while you're still working on figuring out what you want to do with these type of things. What you need to do is you can just, you know, use AI to help you do certain things with it. Again, maybe you want to check with some professionals in order to make it so you're not going to do anything that's actually going to harm you and that kind of thing. And you're definitely, again, wanting to do your own research and be your own advocate. This is a bare minimum that you have to do. But these are things that need to be done for you. Health is such an important thing. And I've noticed that I have more energy now because of that, which allows me to be able to be more productive towards my overall goals and to think clearer. And it's amazing how much just changing a few things around and whatnot has made it so that way everything becomes better for my life as a whole. Even though it may seem like the hard thing to do in the beginning and whatnot. It's a principle of the universe, of course. You know, an object in motion tends to stay in motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest, right? That's the idea behind things with it put out by Sir Isaac Newton for his laws of thermodynamics. And it's the same thing here. If you stop doing something that you know that you liked doing or that you enjoyed doing or that's good for you and whatnot, it makes it harder to get that initial impetus, which is where willpower comes in and truly caring about yourself and other things that you need to do in order to have that happen, and discipline. But once you start doing it and once you form a habit around it, again, it's much easier to continue just doing it rather than to make it fall off and have to worry about where it comes from again. Now, this is also a self-help in the sense of what you can do with this for your goals and objectives. Again, if you're sick, you're not going to be able to go after your stuff with it. You know, COVID-19 was and probably still is a thing that's going on with it, much like the Spanish flu was 100 plus years ago, and just lives with us now, and now it's just become a regular flu strain for the most part. And the people who were dying of COVID and the people who were having issues with COVID, regardless of whether they got vaccinated or not, they more often than not had what are called comorbidities, meaning that they had some sort of underlying other health condition which created the issue for them to get infected more easily to begin with, as well as for the virus to spread more easily as well. This is undisputed. And so this is something to think about too, in terms of preventing diseases from popping up that are already around us that caused a lot of havoc in the world and whatnot. And you don't want that to happen to you or your loved ones. So we should be taking our health seriously. We should be looking at our bodies as kind of the sacred space and the sacred thing that we need to honor and not neglect and not ignore. And we need to take care of ourselves properly too. You know, we need to make it so that way we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. Some things are harder to do as you get older, of course, but doesn't mean you can't make strides to do so and whatnot. And it's better to make it so that way you do everything that is in your willpower and in your stuff for it that you have control over, and make it so that way you do the best that you can and have the best life that you can and the best version of yourself, than to make it so that way you just allow things to happen purely by chance and whatnot. These are food for thought on this particular point and that kind of thing. I would really suggest you look into both. I would really suggest that this is something that too few of us, especially in the Western world, don't take seriously at all. And that, you know, we have people that are morbidly obese and by various different metrics, or that just eat crappy diet, even if they are at a healthy weight, or that we just don't even exercise at all. As Americans and that kind of stuff. And to be clear also, not everything can be cured by this. Not everybody is going to lose weight because they exercise properly and they diet properly and whatnot. There are other underlying reasons for why people are that way. They could have thyroid issues. They could have other things with it that are going on. But this is something that we can do to make our lives better, regardless of what's going on. And I am very pleased with my personal results of changing my diet and making it so that way I do things that are that way with it. Certain people might want to do this. Other people might be opposed to it, depending upon how they feel about genetic testing. But you can get genetic testing done also and look at that to make it so that way you can have things show up for what a proper diet is for you, things that are helpful and things that are not helpful. Some of these places even give meal plans out that are 30 days long that they do in order to help get things started for you. Again, be your own advocate. Do your own research. Make it so that way you figure things out on your own. Don't take what I'm saying or anybody else is saying at face value. Just because some expert says it doesn't mean that it's true. Just because it's written in a book or online somewhere doesn't mean that it's true. So these are things that we need to also focus on. If you really want to take the diet thing to the furthest stuff with it and whatnot, another suggestion is, and this is something I have not done yet myself personally, but intend to do so once I've solidified my diet even further and have gotten even better at it and learn how to cook better, because that's what I'm doing. I'm cooking on my own too, which makes it so that way by learning that skill, I eat out way less and I have way more control over my environment, which means I'm eating way healthier in general. Anyway, is to do seasonal diet. So take the whole foods idea, but eat them in season. This will also help with the environmental side of things as well. Instead of having to transport things from one side of the world to the other much more readily and whatnot, you can just grab whatever is locally available. If you want to know what's in season in your area, you can look it up online, or better yet, go to some sort of farmer's market or something like that, that are have things that are actually growing by real farmers. Always get organic. Always choose that whenever you can. It's better for the environment, again, because of the pesticides and all the other things that go into that with it. Just any change in diet is better at all, and make sure that you take this as baby steps for what's going on, both for the exercising and for the change of diet, because I know this can be hard for certain people. So let's say, you know, you have to where you start doing push-ups and you want to measure push-ups as an example. Well, you can only do 5 at first, let's say. All right, you can only do 5. 3 weeks later, you can do 10. Congratulations, you've improved. Maybe you're not improving to the level you'd like to be, but you've improved. Focus on the improvement, not where you want to go with it. And just continuously move slowly but surely towards your ultimate goals. Find something, to summarize, find something that you enjoy for exercise. Find something that's good for you that you can do. Make it so that way on the dietary front for things that you choose whole foods and that ideally you choose something that's growing in your region and in season and whatnot, because it helps you out and it's what our ancestors have done forever, literally millions of years and whatnot, going back to hominids and at least as our modern forms 300,000 years on this planet. Certain things have changed in terms of the crops and foods, of course. So some people argue it's only been thousands of years. Fine, it's been thousands of years that we've been doing it this way. But we've always eaten in season for whatever was available, regardless of what it was. This makes it so that way it's better for us too. Anyway, thank you all so much for your time. I know this episode's been a little different than some of the other episodes that we've gone into and whatnot, but it's still directly related to things. And it's very important to make it that we stay on this and that we make this a priority. This time period has shown that we need to do that, especially, and shown how vulnerable we can all are and can be to things with it. And it's better for us to make it so that way we take life into our own hands rather than just allowing things to happen willy-nilly. Thank you for listening to this episode of Forbidden Knowledge. If you've gotten something from it, please go to forbiddenknowledge.org and sign up for our email list. Also there, you can make it so that way you can join as a client of mine should you want to work with me personally. Eventually, there'll be books and courses at the website as well that you can sign up for or buy should you want to do so. If you're following us on YouTube, please make it so that way you like and subscribe to the video. It really helps us out and the algorithm out. And everybody who's listening just on a regular podcast form and whatnot on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're getting your podcast from, thank you so much for continuing to be my loyal fan and subscriber. And I hope that you all get something else out of this.